We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Into the 1 o'clock hour on this Red Monday, brought to you by Comcast. It's Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp the next couple of days. Alex Gold, Steven Serta here with you as always. Jam-packed day on 610 Sports Radio, your official chief broadcast partner. Coming up at 2:15, Patrick Mahomes exclusively with the guys on the drive as he talks with them each and every Monday during the football season at 2:15. And then tonight, Mitch Holthus, the Chiefs Kingdom Show, gets going at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. And don't forget also Hy-Vee, $5 buckets of chicken tonight with the Chiefs Kingdom Show going on. Then Jay Binkley, you got the Therese Paylor Show tonight from 7 to 8. And then Dusty gets going with the Red Reaction Show.
And that's going to be a lot of fun with Therese. Spending time with Therese this year. I love we geek out on football. But, it's going to be fun to be with Therese Paylor this year. But then following us every week, Dusty Likens. It's called the Red Reaction Show. It's about the fans and calls, because there's limited calls throughout the day. I get that. But it's about Chiefs fans and their voices. And Dusty Likens in at 8 o'clock with the Red Reaction Show each and every week. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
So loaded here throughout the day and throughout each and every day during the NFL season on your official chief broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. You already heard earlier in the noon hour exclusively from Andy Reid as he joins his press conference only on 610 each and every Monday. And looking ahead to a little bit on the AFC West, knowing that the Chargers are next up for Kansas City, and we'll get a little feel of the Chargers tomorrow as well. We'll head out to the LA area and talk with a beat writer tomorrow at 10:30. On the program. But man, the AFC West, how the AFC West has fared so far. Still have one more game to go. Tonight, the Broncos will take on the Tennessee Titans, and we'll see what Drew Lock looks like as the Broncos are hosting is it without fans for the Broncos, or do they finally make the decision they're going to have a limited number? I know they went back and forth. At one point, I want to say it was none, and then I believe the governor of Colorado came out and said that they approved it for like 2,500 fans or 5,000 fans. So Bink will check on that. But
maybe they did, but back on August 21st, they said no fans, but I guess things could have changed.
So we'll find out how the Broncos look.
They will have fans.
Okay, that's what I thought. They switched it. Yeah.
Yeah, so they switched it up. Initially, they said they weren't, which I think is what a lot of teams are going to do, switch up how many you can bring in. 5,700 fans will be able to go. They'll be limited to 175 people per section. So 5,700 fans tonight in Denver.
So we'll get a glimpse of that, one of the few teams like the Chiefs that have had any sort of fans. But over yesterday's play, we saw the Raiders go to Carolina, get a win. We saw the Chargers sneak out with a win on the road against Cincinnati. The AFC West, none of these teams are going to be contenders in the division, in my opinion, for Kansas City to prevent the Chiefs from continuing the stretch of division titles. But based off of just the two games yesterday, you have to feel better about the Raiders and the Chargers, which I don't like saying that, because I told you I think the Chargers find a way to still be a wild card team, and they had to have yesterday's game win to do that. But man, when you look at both teams were on the ropes, both teams very easily could have lost, no question. The Chargers got extremely lucky. They go to Cincinnati, and they have a rookie quarterback. And maybe this we'll learn as the season goes on. It'll tell us a lot about Joe Burrow, and maybe he's going to be the real deal, because he looked really poised down the stretch against the Chargers defense. Yes, they don't have Derwin James for this season, or at least for now. But, man, that was impressive what I saw from Cincinnati. On the flip side, was not impressed whatsoever with what we saw with the Chargers. Those are typically games that the Chargers do lose the way it went down. Like them, that would have been their kicker pulling a muscle in the middle of a kick, right? It's what happens when you play Cincinnati. Both teams find ways to lose football games, but I came away more impressed by the Raiders if between the two than I did by the Chargers by far. The Chargers did not impress me whatsoever.
I've always kind of wondered, like, who's that next team? Who's the next best quarterback in this division? Who's the next best coach? It's obviously John Gruden. I'd put Andy Reid ahead of John Gruden, of course, but then I'd put John Gruden. They drafted extremely well. The Raiders' drafts the last couple of years have been great. What they don't have is the quarterback position. Obviously, bring in Mariota. Will he be challenging Derek Carr? Certainly good in Derek Carr's favor that he got that win out of the way. The Chargers, a bunch of talent as well, but I like what the Broncos are doing better. I know Cortland Sutton's been banged up, but I like what they're doing, especially, I mean, they bring in Melvin Gordon for some depth this year. And Noah Fant at tight end, really like that situation. And Albert O, who's not even, I mean, I don't even know if you're going to see him for the Broncos, but the familiarity with Drew Locke. But the Chargers, when you don't want to talk about playing the Chiefs the next week to get that win for them and the way they did it, because that was a gift that Cincinnati gave the Chargers yesterday. But impressed with the Raiders on the road. I still don't think they have the quarterback to get the job done. I'm not sold on Justin Herbert until we see what
we haven't seen him, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen him. So, I mean, Hard Knocks, you look good. But
everybody freaked out, by the way, over the video where he was throwing. And he didn't actually look great in some of those. But that we haven't even seen that. That's why the preseason, if there's one reason why you wanted to see any preseason football this year, it would have been to see some of the young quarterbacks like that. But that's what was even more impressive about Joe Burrow, is that he didn't get preseason, and Joe Burrow looked pretty good against the Chargers in a loss.
They're almost, you can almost put them all in a bag, the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders, and who's going to be that team that comes out? I know the Raiders, they have the fancy new stadium, but no fans will be allowed in Vegas this year. But, it's a new attitude. They're in Las Vegas. Will it let translate or parlay itself? Well, John Gruden, has he been really a genius, doing all the trading and the way they've drafted and going forward? I still don't think that they have the quarterback position, something they desperately need, because I love the wide receiving talent, and I love Josh Jacobs with the Raiders and Henry Ruggs. I mean, I love what they've done in the draft. I'm surprised Lynn Bowden didn't work out for him, the SEC's leading rusher. Ahead of Clyde last year, has already been traded to Miami, so surprised that didn't work out. But it's a mixed bag in this AFC West. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to challenge? Who is the next best quarterback? I think at this point, honestly, and I know there's limited sample size, he's only 4-1 in the regular season, is Drew Locke.
This first month of the season. Month of the season will tell us a lot about Drew Locke. I think in particular, the quarterback, it's not saying much at this point. If you're,
but
like,
he's got the team's backing, and that's the important thing.
He does, but if you're looking at and you're saying Drew Locke is clearly the next guy, says a lot more about the rest of the division than anything else. I think in the quarterback situations that exist, we know what's going on in with the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr, none of us think he's the guy, and I don't think Mariota, who's on IR right now, is the guy either. And then in LA, it's a big unknown because we haven't even seen Herbert play in a preseason game in his career.
Offensively, he looked terrible against Cincinnati.
Tyrod Taylor, you mean?
But they didn't look insane. I mean, the Chargers.
Yeah, that's why I mean, we'll talk more about the contenders in the AFC period, let alone the AFC West. I came away from yesterday not just with the contenders at the top, Baltimore, who was the only one that really looked good, but in your division. You come away from the two games you saw yesterday and you feel even more confident that the Chiefs have a chance to go 9-0 against this division, right?
I mean, isn't that kind of where we're at as Chiefs fans, though? Because you already can basically concede the Chiefs are going to go 5 straight in the AFC West. But we used to look at the division, like who's going to be the challenger in the division. But now it's about the Ravens. It's about the AFC. Like that was the way that the Chiefs were last year. It's the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are out there. Chiefs are a better team. Let's go out and prove it on the field. They did. But it was always looking at who is that other team in the AFC, and that's the mindset now with Chiefs and Chiefs fans. It's not about the AFC West anymore. It's about the AFC Conference and who's going to step up and be the challenger for the Chiefs. It's not coming from the West.
And we'll talk more about what we expect tonight from Drew Locke and from the Broncos as they get set to take on the Tennessee Titans. But like this was John Gruden, though. Tommy, you mentioned the big day that Josh Jacobs had. Josh Jacobs, he was fantastic. He had 93 yards and 3 touchdowns, but John Gruden... The TV side of John Gruden, I think, was coming out in this audio cut from him.
I'm not going to put any more pressure on him than he puts on himself. The son of a backfield coach my whole life. My dad coached at Tampa Bay and Notre Dame, and I've seen a lot of running backs for a long time. But that was a little bit like Walter Payton used to play. It was hot as hell. He got beat up early. He insisted on coming back. He insisted he get the ball as a runner and receiver. He's special. He deserves some national attention. I hope you guys give it to him.
Over 100 yards of total offense because he had 46 through the air as well. But looking like Walter Payton.
Settle down here.
Yeah,
it was the
down.
Panthers.
Let's calm down. Yeah, it was hot. It was hot in Carolina. It's another reason why people thought the Raiders didn't have a chance to win yesterday. And it was a competitive, one of the most competitive games of the day.
Do you realize, did you see that last night? We watching the Sunday Night Football when they were talking to Al Michaels, was talking about these new stadiums and the cost of them.
Yes,
like $1.8 billion for the Allegiant Stadium, or a little over $2 billion, whatever it was. $5 billion, more than double anybody else for SoFi.
There's two teams playing there, and they're it's LA. What do you expect?
But to me, the Chargers always. I mean, they're a weird team and a weird dynamic. First of all, we know how it was when they were in San Diego before they moved to Los Angeles. Think about their last couple of years with them. San Diego, nobody really cared about them because they were leaving. They were leaving them. They were the ex that's leaving. So you're like, go ahead and stay in the house or whatever. Then take the couch, TV, whatever you want. We're moving to L.A. Then you play in a soccer stadium, which they had no fans. I mean, there was more Chiefs fans there last year than Chargers. So they didn't have a home there. And they even talked about it. The Steelers were getting their own music played last year in Los Angeles at the soccer stadium. Nobody showed up. And now they're playing at the Rams Stadium. I get it. That's Kronky's place. That's the Rams.
No, I agree. So the same
and
thing last night.
They're renting the garage above Mom's basement.
It's a nice,
but the Chargers
nice garage. Nice
kind of see it is nice. It's very nice. It's a $5 billion stadium. You get the sea breeze from the Pacific Ocean. How nice. Translucent roof. Great.
Oh, it looks like an amazing
I love that little ring and it's got the kind of the Atlanta Falcons little ring with the scoreboard. It's a very attractive stadium. But again, like the Chargers just seem like they haven't built up a fan base out there. I think more people grabbed onto the Rams than the Chargers in Los Angeles. I'm not exactly sure it was a pertinent move for the National Football League to put two teams in Los Angeles. But the Chargers, but that's okay. That's the mindset. Like, okay, we'll be a good road team then. Which they should be a good road team because essentially their home games haven't been home games either. But that's one thing about the Chargers. And I get it. This year's not going to matter without the fans, but you know, the Raiders are going to have, I believe, a great fan base in Las Vegas because they certainly did the Golden Knights. They really bought in. I was thinking about, you know, such a transient city, Las Vegas. Will they grab onto a team besides just being fans of other teams that come in and play? But they grabbed onto the Vegas Knights, and obviously they had success in the NHL right away. But will they gravitate towards the Raiders and different guys, Scott Gobranson and these different guys that cover the Raiders in Vegas? So they're really adapting to them. They're really taking them on. And as far as Josh Jacobs, he's a fantastic player. I'm not going to throw Walter Payton in there. That's like just saying your quarterback's playing like Tom Brady. You can't take all-time greats. So this receiver was great. It reminds me of Jerry Rice. You can't do that yet.
I disagree.
Come on, Serna.
About Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
It's way too early for
sweetness.
He was
really good yesterday. Let's just do it.
Come on, Serna.
Who says we can't do that?
It's a great fantasy pick. No question about it.
Let's
no
do
question
it.
About it. But
let's do it.
Sweetness.
You know how much upside? You know how much upside Josh Jacobs has if he's going to start getting receptions? He only had 30 of them all last year.
I just want to point out one thing, and he was terrific, and I think he's one of the best backs in football.
He didn't have 100 yards rushing, and we're just going to compare him to Walter Payton.
Well, yeah, the comparison is insane. Okay, but I will also, and I agree with you, Serta, he was going up against Carolina's defense, who's as bad as the Raiders' defense is. Carolina's defense is absolutely pathetic as well. Matt Rhule cost his team the game too on that fourth down decision, but I was very happy. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Really big fan of Matt Rhule after yesterday. I needed him to hand the ball to a fullback when you have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. Great decision.
I was being generous. He only had 20 catches all of last season.
We'll see if that continues.
Derek Carr ought to be using that as an extension, man. That ought to be Derek Carr's like go-to guy out of the backfield.
So the
no
Raiders
question about it.
Get a win. They squeak one out against the Panthers, and we know the Chargers got very, very lucky against Cincinnati, and we'll find out how the Broncos fare. A chance that the entire AFC West could start the season 1-0 if the Broncos get a win against the Tennessee Titans. We also saw the day before this full NFL Sunday slate got going, running backs were getting paid. First on Friday, and then this deal was much, much smaller.
Oh, by the way, Carolina was 29th against the run last year.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, there you go. Running backs got paid, man. Starting on Friday, Kareem Hunt, smaller deal, but still very nice deal for the former Chief in Cleveland. Had a nice game yesterday
It's a great tandem with Chubb. I mean,
absolutely. Then we saw Kamara, 5 years, $75 million, $15 million guaranteed with the Saints. Dalvin Cook with the Vikings, 5 years, $63 million, $28 million guaranteed. You go back earlier in the offseason, Christian McCaffrey had the massive deal. Joe Mixon, a week and a half or so ago. props to these guys getting paid. The running back position is getting paid in this league. I think these, though, are more examples of why, and we're going to continue to study these and how they pan out, because I said this on draft night, as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire appears to be, and he was the only back in football week one, we'll see what Barkley and Derrick Henry do tonight. They certainly can both go over 100 yards, but he's the only back with over 100 yards rushing in week one. Only back to do it. We know what his debut was like, historical debut, puts him in some pretty prime company. But I said it on draft night, man, all these guys I think are going to prove one way or the other if teams should continue taking care of their backs mega deal wise. I'm not saying if you can get someone on a 3-year deal, $20 million or something, but I don't care how good Clyde ends up being. And this is a problem 4, 5, 6 years from now, but I'm not signing a running back to a mega deal after that 5th-year player option. I don't care if he's the number two back in all of football for the next 3 years. I'm not doing that. When you take a running back there, you have to be willing to do it. And the Chiefs are the organization that should know more than anybody else. Number one, you've got Andy Reid as your head coach, and you got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. And we at least know Mahomes will be here long past that first rookie contract for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll find out. It's a 6-year contract extension for Andy Reid as well. Kareem Hunt was a 3rd-round pick. Kareem Hunt, we know the start of the season that he had. We know even last year, Damian Williams in the playoff run, undrafted free agent. The guy that just got a new $75 million contract in New Orleans was a 3rd-round draft pick as well. Like, we can go all in all. You do not need to sign running backs when you have the quarterback for a long period of time and the head coach. Like, New Orleans, the reason why they're probably okay with taking care of Alvin is why? Because Drew Brees, good chance he retires this year, after this year, if not the next season. They're going to have some more money freeing up. Eventually, they'll have a rookie quarterback in there, or if you believe it'll be Jameis Winston, who knows, right? Maybe it's Taysom Hill. So, you know, I'm looking at this, and I see these backs getting paid. These are going to be more examples of why, you won't want to pay backs 2-3 years from now into these contracts. Good on the running back for getting paid, man, but you got to be okay with, no matter how good as a Chiefs fan Clyde is, 5 years from now, if the team decides not to give him a mega deal, I think it'd be a mistake.
Well, we're seeing the shift to running game, and I get it that Clyde was the only guy to go over 100 yards, but, you know, running back by committee, guys pounding the rock. And just asking Bill, you know, the tackling in the NFL, will we see that shift?
Yeah.
Because the NFL will flip from time to time. We saw the Wildcat and how that was successful when it came out. It was a college play. They ran it at Arkansas with Gus Malzahn. You saw it in the NFL with the Dolphins that would do the Wildcat formation. It had some success, and we gradually saw the spread offense go from places like Louisiana Tech and Tim Rattay, a quarterback, to the National Football League every one. But will tackling, because there's 14 padded practices that were allowed before COVID during the NFL season, and 16 games, only 14 padded practices, really down. The art of tackling, as Bill said, you know, the art of tackling is different right now. So can you have a power running game? Will it make a difference? And we see the NFL will bring back certain things that work at certain times. And Derek Johnson, that you heard this morning with Fesco in the morning, and you will every Monday, more tackles than any chief in history, speaking of a guy that can tackle. And I remember asking him a couple years at training camp, I was like, talking about the run defense with the Chiefs. And I said, does it matter that, you know, guys aren't used to tackling power running games when you're coming out of spread offenses in high school, and especially in the state of Texas, and then you're going to college and you're tackling wide receivers and you're not, you know, hitting that power running game. You're not running traditional 4-3s. You're running hybrid defenses and 3 safeties. Will it make a difference in tackling? Will NFL adapt to the power run game? Because will they see tackling so bad and, hey, let's go ahead and jam it? Well, we saw the running back start to get paid. And what we've seen lately has been the quarterback position. Let's pay the quarterback. Now it's, if you don't have that quarterback, make sure you have everything else around him that could be successful. Are they going more to the power running? And with Andy Reid, he just utilized the talent he had. I mean, he had the NFL's leading rusher a couple years ago with Kareem Hunt. You know, Andy Reid likes to throw the ball. Like, yeah, but he realized, okay, this guy can run the football, and Kareem Hunt leads the NFL in rushing. So it's adapting to your talent. And I do think with the loss of the art of kind of tackling in what we're seeing now, and especially with some of the new rules put on place with tackling and all the way down to the high school level, will the power running game make a resurgence? And we're starting to see that a little bit.
But do you, let's fast forward 4 years from now and you start having to talk contract. Let's assume Clyde is playing at a high level. He's a top 10 back in football, let's just say. Are you okay with him at that point, essentially walking away?
Well, no, because I take a look at, okay, what's the Mahomes effect? You know, what's the defense doing? Are they preparing? Are they coming out to stop the running game? Because they're not. They're preparing to stop Mahomes. That's public enemy number one. I remember a couple years ago, Chuck Pagano called Jamaal Charles public enemy number one because that was the weapon for the Chiefs. offensively. But if you're not able to stack the box with eight guys, if you're not able to bring a box safety in because you're worried about Mahomes beating you deep, which clearly he can do, and they can spread the ball around. But is the running back benefited? Because last year we saw a host of running back from Spencer.
So wait, you said you would, or wouldn't pay him?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, we're on the same page there. That's because Mahomes is a huge part of why you're not. And Andy Reid.
Exactly.
If Andy Reid and them are still together, we know one's going to for sure be here by that time around, and the other one, and I'm talking about Mahomes, of course, and then the other one we'll see. He just signed a new 6-year contract extension.
You got guys that are, Kamar, third-round pick. You got Chris Carson with the Seahawks, seventh-round pick. I mean, you can find
enjoy the next 4 or 5 years of
it. Darrell Williams is the number two running back on one of the most high-octane offenses we've ever seen as the number two back being undrafted. Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Running backs getting taken care of right before the start of the season. There's a lot of contracts that were handed out on Saturday, including for wide receiver. Cooper Kupp got a nice new extension with the LA Rams, part of the Rams' win last night against the Dallas Cowboys as well. Over the weekend, though, we did see college football get underway in full force, at least with what full force is going to look like for this year. We'll see where the Big Ten in their voting goes, and we'll check in on that tomorrow. But the Big 12 got off to a rough start. My goodness, embarrassing weekend for the Big 12. 0-3 against Sun Belt teams, including KU, K-State going down, Arkansas State for the Wildcats, and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers for the Kansas Jayhawks. 2 years in a row, KU loses at home to Coastal Carolina. Just pitiful performance all the way around. Just not prepared whatsoever. Like that, it's year two for Les Miles. You have a whole coaching staff. That is just completely unacceptable, but it's what KU fans have come to expect. It sucks. It's so sick and tired of it. I'm sure I speak for plenty of KU fans on that. You stay up pretty late on Saturday night to watch that game, and that team just doesn't show up whatsoever. You would have thought that they found out 24 hours before that they had to play a football game. It was pathetic all the way around.
It's like they were done before they even started. Yeah, they really was.
Never had a chance. Never showed up. Turnovers, right? They moved the ball a little on the first drive and had turnovers. It was pitiful. At least, K-State fans, I'm sure, are bummed as well, no doubt, with Arkansas State. At least Arkansas State had one player that looks like an NFL wide receiver just go off on you, and they brought out all the tricks. Right, that's how they beat you. And there was missed field goals involved. Kansas just flat was never in that football game. They sucked.
K-State came roaring back, took that lead in Arkansas State. But again, we're talking Arkansas State that has made 9 bowl games. I will say this. They haven't beaten the Power 5 since 2007. So it was Kansas State. But again, they had the advantage of playing early. The Sun Belt, doing probably what the MAC should have done. Although if the Big Ten played, I think the MAC does, because those early season games mean so much money. But guys like Jonathan Adams, that wide receiver at Arkansas State, taking advantage of the window, taking advantage that people are craving football on. And if you're Arkansas State, you're in a prime window where people are talking about your game. There were more people watching that game. I haven't seen the ratings, but I would think they were. I mean, it was the late game. Gamblers, of course, love those. They used to like Hawaii games.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that game.
But there's college football. I follow a lot of college football people, obviously. But people talking about the Kansas game up there watching it, tweeting at midnight and 11 o'clock. Kansas right there getting an opportunity. And there's Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers, getting a chance right there with Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman to showcase what they have, and they took advantage of it.
Yeah, it was pathetic all the way around. A bad weekend for the Big 12. Iowa State also went down to Louisiana. They were really never, other than the first half, weren't in that game very much. Gave up two special teams touchdowns to Louisiana. So the Big 12 0-3, and I just wonder how that, as the season goes on, if we get to a college football playoff, what that means for Oklahoma. Assuming Oklahoma's there, the perception of the Big 12, especially when you have a weekend where you have three teams lose to Sun Belt teams at home, all three were at home, clearly, that's not good for perception of your league in terms of when people are starting to give it a picture on if you're on the fringe or in terms of what seed you could be. And Oklahoma certainly is a title contender, but not a good start for the Big 12. Disappointing for Kansas State and certainly for Kansas. You're 200 less miles, and now you start trying to figure out, can they even get a win on the season? I mean, that's the only non-conference game you got. Now you get to go to Baylor. Congratulations.
And you had the advantage of a team that's never beaten another Power 5, and you got a home game at 9 o'clock with an East Coast team in Coastal Carolina. This game was supposed to be there. They had to get on a plane. They're like, okay, we'll come play you there. Yeah. And it was a revenge game. Puka, we're glad we put them on the schedule. Really?
Since 2017, Coastal Carolina 2-0 against Big 12 opponents. Kansas 2-25. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta's Fantasy Flash. Rams running back Malcolm Brown, impressive week one performance. What does he have going forward? And should you be looking at that waiver wire immediately? Plus, we get to watch trending and the contenders in the AFC. Where are they?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Well, number one, it's game week for the Chiefs. They now get set to take on the LA Chargers on Sunday afternoon over at new SoFi Stadium. And earlier today, you heard from Andy Reid exclusively his press conference here on 610 Sports Radio. He mentioned that Austin Ryder all of a sudden on the, at least on the injury list, with a sore knee, something to keep an eye on heading in. He also answered a question about Charvarius Ward, who reports were had surgery on a fractured hand.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. He had some work done on it, and we'll just see where he's at. When it's by game time. But we'll see. We just gotta have to see how it feels.
Fractured hand operation. Got a cast on. We've seen guys play with it before. It sounds like they really don't know for sure how effective he can be with it or where everything's at. Game time decision is probably pretty fair on this one, doesn't it seem, based on that answer from Andy Reid heading into the Chargers game? And I would be surprised if he doesn't play this week. I would be surprised if he doesn't play the following week against Baltimore. We see guys, even though if you're a more physical corner, it might be more challenging to play with the cast than otherwise. But I'm not going to say he's playing this Sunday, but I will be very surprised if 2 weeks from now he's not playing.
You do get the two extra roster spots on game day, see what happens, but it's something to watch. But guys do play with that club on their hand. Is it an advantage that he had those extra days, considering the Chiefs played on Thursday, so it is a little bit different than normal. And Austin Ryder is something to watch. Here was a guy that got his chance to start at center back in Cleveland. Tore his ACL. Guess who started for him? Cam Irving back in Cleveland. But he's been great with Mahomes. I mean, you haven't had to worry about the center position, kind of that quarterback of the offensive line. So probably won't matter. They did bring in a Kilgore, a veteran center in the offseason that's on the 53.
Yeah, here, sore knee. I mean, that.
I assume he plays.
Yeah. Sore knee. You're not hearing anything more in play. He didn't miss a single snap on Thursday, right?
Nope.
So I'm not too concerned about it yet, but something to keep an eye on.
Week one of the NFL not in the books yet because we got Monday Night Football tonight. Chargers and Raiders both pick up wins. Broncos tonight on Monday Night Football. I am interested in that game because I want to see one. Broncos, they're going to take any steps from last year, even though Courtland Sutton's kind of banged up. And two, what about the Titans? Is it like the Jags a couple years ago? Surprise everybody, or the Titans legit?
Yeah, we'll talk more about Monday Night Football. I'm laughing because Bink just nearly knocked the microphone off. He was very pumped up talking about
Similar.
I was
going to
say, you just swatted the mic out of the way there.
Pancake.
We will talk more about the Titans and Broncos here in just a little bit. Next up on What's Trending here on Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley is in for Cody Tapp today. Brad Keller, complete game shutout as the Royals now won six in a row. They have today off. They get back at it tomorrow against the Detroit Tigers, but they've won six in a row. And if you think about the last week, go back to Thursday. We were talking about a no-hit bid for Brady Singer in the eighth inning. Now here we are on a Monday coming off a Sunday win for the Royals against the Pirates, and it's Brad Keller, complete game shutout. The young pitchers that figure to be key pieces going forward in this organization in the last week were on the verge of doing historical things. One of them completed a complete game shutout, which is certainly something we hadn't seen in a little while here in Kansas City. And then to see Adalberto Mondesi the last week or so playing like the superstar, the talent that we know that he has there. I told you, I think the expectation should not be that anymore. They absolutely have to be lowered. In fact, this last week, why I love it, it also reminds me of why I get frustrated, and I think a lot of Royals fans do, because you see this. You see, and by this, by the way, we're talking about home runs, stolen bases, and what was it, four straight games, putting them in some rare company, and then you'll have what we saw earlier this year, or you'll have a stretch for the final 12 games, let's hope not, where he can't hit the baseball. Consistency. Where are you going to find the consistency? Not going to play at this level all the time. I know that. But where you're not going from this to the ultimate low of being a fringe big leaguer the way you look for the first 25 games or so. He's got 12 games left in the season. He's had a nice 7 or 8 games run here. Confidence-wise, he looks like he's having some more fun out there. Can he keep this up heading in an offseason to give you a much better taste in your mouth about yourself than where you were a week and a half, 2 weeks ago?
Leading the American League, or leading baseball in stolen bases with that on-base percentage, you can just kick that up a little bit. Mondy would be tearing it up. We can look at the season and think playoffs and think about all those losses. Royals have been competitive. There's no quit in this team. They've been extremely competitive in these games, but it's nice to see the winning streak on the heels of a losing streak that they had. But even that 5-2 loss with two outs in St. Louis, so many would've, coulda, shouldas, but that's about making the playoffs. We say, hey, this could be a playoff team, but does that matter? Or is it the development of the young pitchers that we've seen, and especially guys like Brad Keller doing what he's doing, turning 25 and being the guy that you know is going to be part of this team? Vern always talks about who's going to be on this team when they win again. Brad Keller is definitely those guy, one of those guys that's going to be on the team. Mondesi, we'll have to wait and see with him. Kansas and Kansas State both lose their season openers. We've talked about this a lot with this Sun Belt team's bad look.
Yeah, I mean, you're 0-3 as a conference against the Sun Belt. And it's one thing to lose, but then just to look completely not prepared for a football game to open up your season and have some emotion, show you actually want to be there.
There's not preseason in college football anyway.
No, I mean, that was Kansas. It was pathetic, man. We've had so, and I say we, I'm a Kansas grad. It's tough to watch because we've seen so many of these performances for the last decade, whether it was with Gill, Weiss, Beatty, now with Les Miles. They're unacceptable. They should not be happening for a Power 5 program, even if you are a program like Kansas who has, I believe, out of Power Fives, nobody has fewer wins over the last decade than the Kansas Jayhawks. It's been terrible, and they did not look ready for Coastal Carolina to lose 2 years in a row. And then for Kansas State, a disappointing loss as well to Arkansas State. They at least ran into a team that had a wide receiver just go off.
Yeah, a lot more on that Thursday night on Rush the Field when you and John Kurtz, Kansas State, break down those games in particular. A lot more look at those two games. Absolutely. On Thursday night.
Absolutely. Lastly, on what's trending, the NFL threatening discipline for coaches not wearing masks on the sidelines. This is because mainly last night it was highlighted on a national broadcast, at least for Sunday Night Football, where Sean McVay, his mask was down most of the night, did not have it covering his face. On the other sideline, though, you saw Mike McCarthy wore the mask the whole time. We know here in Kansas City there were plenty of jokes flying around about the face shield. Andy even admitted, they got to get something fixed on that, maybe a new mask or whatever to prevent the fogging up and everything. I think it's just the optics. I think that's the biggest thing. The NFL did not like the optics of last night and some of their coaches not wearing a mask more than anything else. So the NFL has done a very nice job with the testing and the protocols, and they had no positive tests on when they did their final testing Saturday heading into week one. Let's see what happens now that there's been some travel, but the NFL's had a good grasp of this situation. I think they do deserve some credit with how they've handled it. I understand why they had to do it. There's plenty of billions of dollars on the line. But they've done a nice job with it, and it was a pretty strongly worded message today from the NFL towards its coaches, reminding them, hey, you got to make sure you're following these protocols.
Shots of the coach are always prevalent in broadcast. Maybe talk to the broadcast partner. Don't show the coach so many times. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but all the assistants were wearing them. Most of the coaches, Belichick wore his the whole time. It's not that they want to wear it. It's that they have to wear it. And Sean Payton was a guy that didn't either. He actually had COVID.
He did. He was one of the first coaches.
Well, absolutely.
Very early in the process. Lastly, real quick, the Browns just placed their tight end David Njoku on injured reserve. In the offseason, there was talk at one point he was going to be traded. Ultimately, it was not. David Njoku struggling to stay healthy. He's got a knee injury. IR this year, technically he could come back after 3 weeks, but we'll see there.
Hurt last year, hasn't been effective in 2 years.
There you go.
Great
That's
talent.
What's trending here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up at 2:15, Patrick Mahomes exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio, his weekly sit-down with Carrington Harrison and Sean Levine on The Drive. You don't want to miss that as we continue a great day of Red Monday coverage presented by Comcast. Reminder, continues all tonight, 6 o'clock, as well the Chiefs Kingdom Show, Mitch Holthus, and his special guest will be Patrick Mahomes as well. And so Chiefs Kingdom Show, 6 to 7. And Bink, you're hopping on with Therese Paylor, the Therese Paylor Show from 7 to 8. Busy day for Bink, filling in for Cody today and tomorrow. And then after that, Dusty Likens starting up the Red Reaction Show and taking all your phone calls from Chiefs fans, getting set for week two for the Chiefs at least, and heading into some Monday Night Football. And you watch yesterday, man, you watch the AFC in particular, and the Baltimore Ravens looked every bit the part, every bit what we think they're going to be, a contender in the AFC. Showdown week three, Chiefs, Ravens. I mean, heading out of majority with two games to go, there isn't another team that showed me anything in terms of being threatened, right, as a contender if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs looked the part, obviously, on Thursday night against the Texans. The Ravens looked the part against the Browns. They looked like they were in midseason form as well. And, the other teams that potentially, if you thought, could jump into the category, teams like the Steelers, we haven't seen them play yet. The Colts certainly wasn't them because they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's 1 week. I get that. I don't think there will ever be this season a third team that we put on that level pre-playoffs that is the Ravens or the Chiefs in terms of a threat, a contender. I think there's a chance the Steelers, when it's all said and done, can be that third best team. I actually have them in the AFC title game against Kansas City, not the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very high on Pittsburgh. We'll learn more about them tonight. But man, I come out of yesterday and I feel even better if I'm a Chiefs fan. There wasn't some, oh man, if the Colts would have come out against the Jags, I get it. But if they would have just been dominant, let's say Phillip Rivers would have looked great. I wouldn't have been threatened, but I would have said, oh, okay, let's pay a little more attention to the Colts. And I'm high on the Colts. But yesterday, there was not one team in the AFC other than what we already knew, the Ravens, that emerged.
There's not even that look where you say, this is the second tier. We already know the first tier is the Chiefs and Ravens. No one else is getting to that first tier. Or are they? Because last year, the Ravens kind of surprised us and they moved in to that league. Who's going to be the second tier? Is New England? Do they have enough with Cam Newton to be in that second tier? Is it going to be the Colts? They're going to be in that second tier. Can the Titans be that team and parlay what they did last season? Who's going to be on the next tier? But there's no fear factor, and it comes down to quarterbacks. You might be right with Pittsburgh because it's Big Ben. It's Mike Tomlin talking about guys that have won rings being there, and maybe it is Pittsburgh. You would think Houston, because you got to think about quarterbacks. Like Deshaun Watson belongs up there.
Houston?
But the fact they play the Chiefs, and they got to play the Ravens, and they got to play the Steelers, this is a team that could be 0-3, and there's already a lot of noise about Bill O'Brien in Houston. They're not upset they lost the Chiefs. It's how they lost to the Chiefs, what's going on in Houston. But who's taking that step? Are we seeing that? I still think Joe Burrow could be that guy, to be honest with you. I want to see more
of
Joe Burrow.
Not this year.
Yeah. Not this year. But eventually, when you're talking about AFC and through 2 years, who's the elite quarterbacks in the AFC? Can Joe Burrow put his name? But the teams that you say have a legitimate shot, it always comes down to this. And I get it. You can Trent Dilfer your way to the Super Bowl if you have an elite defense. But who are the quarterbacks?
Can you do that in today's NFL? That's maybe a topic for another day. But
quarterbacks.
Can you do that in today's NFL? You're right. We all know what happened with Baltimore. They had the amazing defense, and Trent Dilfer's got a ring for it. Good for him. But
the only teams you believe in are quarterbacks.
Correct. I'm saying in today's NFL, we know how the league operates, and especially how the rules have changed as well. I don't think you can say, oh, you can.
If you're elite, so elite, like the Ravens were on defense, you get away with it, but you better be elite. And I know people look at the Rams and say, well, that was a one-sided thing, the 99 Rams. They were fourth in total defense that year, too. So they're one in offense, fourth in total defense. That's pretty good. They're pretty good on both sides of the ball, and people won't give them credit. Yeah, they scored a lot of points, but they saved themselves a lot of points that year as well, fourth in scoring defense. But unless you're totally elite, that's a generational defense we saw from the Ravens that year. But having the quarterbacks, that's why you say Pittsburgh, okay, they got a shot because they have Big Ben.
We'll see what they look like tonight.
You would like to say Houston because of Deshaun Watson, but you can't because of their schedule they have this year and Bill O'Brien as head coach. And, when Tom Brady's no longer part of the picture, you're respecting the Patriots enough with Cam Newton to put them on tier two. They're not getting a tier one. Tier one is only two teams, in my opinion. And if the Ravens suddenly get bad and not good, it's one team. It's the Chiefs. But it's the Chiefs and the Ravens are tier one. Who is tier two right now? I don't know.
Well, the thing with New England, I don't know how you guys felt as well. 913-576-7610 is the Smitty Garage Burn Beer text line. But watching New England, and I give Bill Belichick plenty of credit yesterday, and it's one game. I get it's overreaction Monday. That's what's fun about week one of the NFL season.
Baseball is too, but it's 16 games.
Yeah. And I look at the Patriots. It's impressive, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. They clearly redesigned that offense because they've got a running quarterback, and Cam Newton looked really good running. I wasn't impressed passing the football yesterday, but they got the win, and the Patriots look like they're going to be a team that's going to be competitive in most games this year, I would say. If not going to have 11 or 12 wins, but they're going to be competitive. My question with them, I don't feel like you're ever going, while they'll be competitive, I don't see them blowing teams out with the way they're going to play this year offensively. I would be surprised if we're going to have many games where we look at New England and they're going to be a team where they're running away from people. I don't see that. I think they're going to have to truly grind out a lot of games with Cam Newton as their quarterback and just the makeup of the roster of so many guys. What, eight guys opted out for the Patriots? There, seven or eight guys opted out, but
including Chung, which I'm surprised.
It's a big one. Yeah, that was a big one for them, but. Yeah, I don't see another contender week one or any other team where you at all. We know we got our answer on Thursday night if you were still questioning. You brought the Texans, though, man. Thursday night, to me, was clear to show that the Chiefs are light years above the Houston Texans. They're not in the same realm whatsoever as them, man. And the Texans, I still think there's a chance they can end up as a wild card. I know people think that sounds crazy based on what we saw, knowing you're right, their schedule that they have, but I think the AFC South is just such crap that they'll have a way to put some wins together. Jacksonville, I don't look, just because they beat the Colts yesterday, I don't view the Colts differently necessarily in terms of winning that division I don't view the Jags all of a sudden a team that's going to win eight games because of yesterday. I just think it's a weird week one of the NFL season type of dynamic there, and Phillip Rivers making the old mistakes.
New England was number one last year in yards against, and then we can look at their schedule and everything else about the Patriots. But they were number one in yards allowed last year. So if they can play solid defense, and again, you added – you're not going to out-coach them. They're not going to be out-coached. The only guy that can out-coach Belichick at this point, in my opinion, is Andy Reid with Pat Mahomes. That's the only guy to worry about in the NFC. But you're not going to out-coach him. And Cam Newton, 75 yards rushing, was more than they've had since 1971. I mean, Steve Grogan won 81 yards. I mean, Tom Brady won 18 and 19 with only 69 combined yards. So it's a different-looking team, but they're taking advantage of what they have. But if they can dumb it down in Princeton basketball, this thing, playing good defense and having Cam pick up those, maybe New England's that Tier 2 team. Maybe they are.
Text line says Bills could be the second tier. I know the Bills got a win yesterday.
Oh, they sure are. I love the Bills.
And I know you're high on the Bills as well. I didn't think they played great yesterday, and they were playing a terrible Jets team. You know, Josh Allen had some moments, no doubt, yesterday, and you also saw a few of the mistakes that we typically see from Josh Allen. But the Bills take on a bad Jets team, and we'll see as their schedule toughens up too, and where you view there. We know the AFC East appears, because the Patriots at least taking somewhat of a step back, appears to be a little bit more wide open. And Buffalo Bills, one of the favorites to be able to win that. Before we get off the air today, of course, and hand things off to The Drive, who again will be joined by Patrick Mahomes coming up at 2:15 exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. Tonight, man, two more games. Yesterday was a lot of fun. We get two more tonight. You got the early Monday Night Football kickoff, and then you've got the late game this evening as well. Let's start with the AFC West game, or the game involving the Denver Broncos against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, for me, are a team, and we'll see if we get confirmation of it tonight. They're a team that goes from making a deep run like they did, AFC Championship game, still only finished 9-7, despite how good they played on the back end. They just need to do that just to get to 9-7. They, to me, are a team that falls way back this year. I don't expect the Titans as a playoff team, and so I'm really curious to see what Tennessee, I know they got Clowney, I don't know how much he's supposed to play tonight, but A, what do they look like? Are they still a team that can contend in the AFC South? And on the other side, of course, Denver Broncos. Not for this year, but for the long-term picture. Drew Lock going up against that Tennessee defense. Now he has a full season as a starter. They went out and got some weapons offensively. I know defensively they got injuries, but they went out and got weapons offensively. What do some of the young pieces around him look like? What does he look like? Is he going to prove when we get 4 weeks into this season, starting tonight, that he's the franchise quarterback in Denver? And then is he the guy that we'll be talking about going up against Mahomes for years to come?
I'm looking forward to it. I see this as kind of a tier two night, honestly, with the Steelers and the game that you're talking about with the Titans. How good are they with Clowney? Because he did play for Vrabel, had his most productive season with Vrabel in Houston. What will he make a difference? Remember, Derrick Henry didn't start off great. It wasn't until that Chiefs game where he went over 100 yards. He got 100 on the dot until that game. Ryan Tannehill, you buying what he did? Last year was one of those things where you buying that he is that quarterback. You buy in he's that quarterback, or is taking him to the AFC title game the furthest he can go. Is Ryan Tannehill a championship-level quarterback? But to me, is a big night to determine who is on that next level. We spent a lot of time talking about Tier 1 and Tier 2. Can you put the Titans in there? Can they go on the road and be a viable team against the Broncos team? That, you know what, Vic Fangio, say what you want. The guy does no defense, so they have that going for him. But they're on their second offensive coordinator with Shermer's. Again, Drew Lock was dealing with this at Missouri. He's already the second offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Sir, I'm curious. You know, we talked last week. You dropped the Broncos from defense from your fantasy team and all that. How big of a drop off do we see tonight from the Broncos defense not having Von Miller? I know last year they didn't have Chubb, but now knowing that Von Miller is not there, they still have Justin Simmons, at least in the secondary. But what's that defense look like? Is it going to be a situation where Drew Lock's looking good, but it's the defense that's letting them down all of a sudden? And then it's Pittsburgh against the Giants, and I'm high on Pittsburgh, so I want to see, is Big Ben, is that elbow, can he throw the football consistently tonight down the football field?
I think a lot of people are looking at the Steelers because they're waiting for that other team. Who's going to be at 13? You know, they argue a lot about the drive, and they've done that across the NFL when you listen to people. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be the Colts? Well, not so good on Sunday. Can it be the Steelers? Who can be that team? Because the Steelers are always the mark of consistency, especially with Big Ben. Can we see the resurgence of Pittsburgh?
Who do you got tonight? I think Tennessee wins, and over on radio.com/picks, so I have my straight up picks. You can check that out each and every week, a chance to win $1,000 in the Rocket Mortgage pickup. I have Tennessee tonight, and I have Pittsburgh tonight winning those games.
We got the exact same two. Now, are you doing it with the spread or not?
On that particular website and those picks, that is straight up. That's what we're doing. Those are just straight up picks.
So you go on 3 points? You going to give Tennessee the 3?
I will not be betting on this game tonight.
Really?
Yeah, Tennessee. I don't feel great about it either way. Tennessee and Denver. I don't know enough about. I think
you feel
Tennessee
better about the Raiders on the road than Tennessee on the road.
I don't think Tennessee. I don't feel very highly about Tennessee whatsoever.
Okay. Over under 41. Man,
the Panthers stuck. By the way, let's get to the final word.
The final word.
I'm glad you brought up the Raiders and the Panthers because last week I took a lot of heat for that Raiders pick in our NFL Survivor League. And what do you know? The Raiders did get the win over the Panthers. Bink, inserted your Buffalo Bills pick still alive, obviously, in the elimination. Fesco's Colts eliminated. Carrington Harrison, he picked the Philadelphia Eagles.
I am champion dot.
What happened yesterday? Eagles blow a 17-0 lead. Carrington's first pick in the Survivor League already out, Bink.
I thought you were going to be. I was looking forward to coming in with you today when you had taken that L. But
I bet you were.
It didn't work out for me.
It did not work out for you
and
whatsoever.
I never, you know, you can't root for the Raiders.
Well, believe me, I'm glad I don't have to deal with them the rest
thing
of the season.
The was, you were probably rooting for the Raiders yesterday.
I told you, I felt dirty at the end of the game, man.
You
there was
should.
One point on that fourth down stop where I kind of, it might have been a slight quick clap, and then I had to hold back. I realized, what was I doing? I know. I didn't like it whatsoever either.
Putting your faith in that team.
I know. Well, it paid off.
Remember how good they were last year? They just slid.
I don't need them the rest of the year. Just that one game was all I needed them out of it. We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. Reminder, coming up next, it's The Drive. They're going to be joined by Patrick Mahomes exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.